In Jesus' name, can somebody say amen? All right, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Now, this is the children of Israel now getting prepared to go into the promised land. And notice what they had to do first. They had to allow all that old bunch to die out, because they just didn't want to believe. And I think it's the same thing today. And that's why you see dead churches. Because people don't want to believe. And this believing in faith is a vital part of your life. I mean, from now on. In fact, the just shall live by faith. And what I said this morning is that life today is getting far too complicated to handle without faith. Far too complicated. Because faith settles everything. You know, somebody comes, say they're sick. You don't even need to ask them what they got. You know, you just lay hands on them in Jesus' name. And they be healed. Faith cuts to the chase. You know how people sit up and tell you for about 2 hours what they got and how they got it and how their great-grandmama had it and passed on down. Now, faith doesn't need that. Faith just does the job. Jesus asked questions like this: how long has he been this way? So my point to you is that faith. Now understand, this is a level that God's people have got to go to. Because life is getting too complex, folks. I remember when you only had one physician for the house. You know, you had a general practitioner. And that general practitioner treated everything. Yes. Am I right about it? Yes. They didn't treat the disease, they treated you. Yes. But things have gotten so complex, and so you need a specialist for this, a specialist for that. Am I right about it? In the faith, you can just say, well, my eye's been hurting. Come here. In Jesus' name, be healed. You know what I mean? Not what happened to your optic retina at the age of 5. You don't have to do that. All right, so look at Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zion, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear reports of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. You know, I need to mention something. I really believe, like I said, if you're a believer, God gives you the blessing. And the blessing is an empowerment for success. So you got what I'm saying? Now, one person who's running for president is a guy named Ben Carson. Now, I don't know whether you know his life or not, but it's written up. But you know what he said prayer did for him and how it instructed him by the Spirit of God how to do surgery, how, you know, so forth. And he separated some twins that were joined together at the head and so forth. I mean, he was leading physician, but he's called an apostle of healing. And physicians that are in the faith are apostles of healing. Are you following what I'm saying? We're not writing them off. See, God's got some healing for you no matter what level you're at. That's all I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying? So don't write that off. If it wasn't for doctors, a lot of Christians would be dead. So thank God for that. But we're going to talk about the blessing, because I'm going to talk about that extra anointing that can come on God's professionals, that they can go to right to what the problem is. Even though the x-ray shows this, they'll say, no, it's not that. What it is this right here. And that's done by the Spirit of God. Say amen to that. And that's not just in that profession, it's in any profession. They'll have inside information. Glory to God. So it's getting too complex to just not live without faith. And certainly where you're going into the promised land. So in there, it's getting too deceptive. Yes. Getting too deceptive, because the devil will try to tell you you got something you don't even have. You know, try to make you feel something that's not a feeling at all. Or try to make you dislike somebody that you should be loving, because they're going to bless you in a minute or whatever have you. So you really got to understand, going into that promised land is a land that you got to take the word of God and take Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. What if some did not believe, glory to God, so the unbelief of some make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, come on, and every man be a liar. So what we said about the Bible is the Bible is God speaking to us. Say, the Bible,
is God
speaking to me.
Speaking to me.
So he is speaking to you through this word. Now we went to Isaiah chapter 55. If you go there, please. Isaiah chapter 55, glory to God. And in Isaiah chapter 55, God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Let me get it another way. God expects, glory to God, when he says, when I speak something, out of my mouth, I expect what I speak to come to pass. Say amen to that. So when God speaks something out of his mouth, he expects what he speaks to come to pass. Now that's a profound statement, because it's amazing how many people say things and don't expect anything to happen. But God pretty much is making you like him. In fact, when Jesus spoke, he expected something to come to pass. Look at Mark chapter 11, please. Over in Mark chapter 11, it says here that Jesus spoke to this fig tree. Verse 14, and Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And then he went on down to Jerusalem, took care of some business, and went on up that night in verse 19 and came out of the city and went on back up there and went to sleep. But verse 20, and in the morning as he passed by, he saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. They saw it. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you curse is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have what? Underline whatsoever he said. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you ought to believe you've received them and you shall have them. So that's expectation. See, he expected something to come to pass. Watch this. He'd have been surprised if it didn't. So what he released out of his mouth, he's operating just like the Father, and he expects this thing to come to pass. Isn't that wonderful? If you look at Jesus in operation in Luke chapter 17. Come on over there real quick. Luke chapter 17. And this is what happened. This is Luke chapter 17, and this was 10 lepers. Verse 11. And it came to pass, and he went, as they went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said this, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his knees at the feet of him, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now check it out. Where are the 9? Wait a minute, only one came back, but where are the rest of them? Now the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Jesus didn't go with them. They left his sight. But he knew they were what? Healed. Why? Because he's operating like his father. And I'm saying that the expectation of Jesus when he said, listen, I'm going to be I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be die. I'm going to die. And on 3 days, in 3 days, I'm coming back up. Now, what got him back up? The same thing that got this man healed. The same thing you got. His faith got him back up. So don't be caught dead without your faith. So as we look at this, this faith is powerful. Look at Psalm 62 and verse 5. Now, this is what you have to have faith in. Now, this is triggering the blessing. We're not talking about that today, but we are going to talk about it. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So when your expectation is not from God, it'll leave you in frustration. So you got to somewhere put your trust and faith in God. And what happened is Pastor Cash Luna, who came through here, he said, in the United States, your resources have become your stumbling block. Why? Because we got too many other ways to get it. The money don't show up. I just go down here and do this and do that and lottery and so forth. But what if none of those were there and all you had was God? Do you know he wants you to trust only in him? Say amen to this. So I'm saying that this expectation has to be developed. Well, how is it developed? It's developed by you believing. Now, how do you believe? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 14, please. Are y'all with me? Or in Romans 10, 14, he says, how then shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? Well, how can they believe on him whom they've not heard? Well, how can they help, shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? On down to verse 17. So then faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing, come on, by the word of God. So as God speaks his word through his Bible, that word is God speaking to you. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. And as we saw, Jesus operated the same way. When the storm came up, they were going to the other side. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Well, how did he do it? He worked the same principle that God worked when he said, let there be light. Now, when you're dealing with faith, let's come over to Hebrews chapter 12, please. When you're dealing with faith, realize faith only deals with the impossible. I like it. Faith feeds on the impossible, but it only deals with the invisible. Once you use your faith and it becomes manifest, faith leaves. Faith is not used anymore. Faith only deals with bringing stuff from the invisible into the visible. Now that might be a surprise to some of y'all, but it only deals with that. So when you're talking about faith, let me just write something down here. Amen. It only deals with that. See, it only deals and it feeds on the impossible. So as you believe for the impossible and something comes about, then your faith will climb. You'll follow your faith going to be stronger next time. And so, where did I tell you to turn? Hebrews chapter 12. Look what it says here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, glory to God, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of our faith. Now, what I did is I looked up this word finisher, because I want to make sure I know what that means. So I looked it up in the Greek. It spells T-E-L-E, like telly, I-O-T-E-S. And you pronounce it teleotes, teleotes, T-A-S-E, teleotes. It means complete or it means perfected. Jesus is the author and perfecter of your faith. So if you're running with him, at some point in your life, he's going to say, feed him. If you're running with him, at some point in your life, he's going to say, let's go over to the other side. Now, he knows a storm is there. At some point in your life, he's not going to let you stay where you are, because the Bible says, God says, he's the author and finisher of your faith. Now, he's going to be rooted in the Word of God, and the Word of God is true. Let God be what? True. And every man be a liar. How many of you believe in John 3:16? For God so loved the what? World, that he gave his only begotten who? Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because it is true. Got it? 1 Peter chapter 2:24. Who is also bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, live into righteousness, by his stripes you were healed. Do you believe that? Now look what it said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. So John 3:16 is true, and 1 Peter 2:24 is true. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Do you believe this? See, the only reason they didn't get over to the other side, the only reason they didn't get what they're supposed to get is because of unbelief. And I'm telling you, with all the advantages that you have around you, sometimes what it does do is sap your believing in the Word of God. It'll say, no, I can do it another way. Well, another way may not work. I'm not saying it won't. I'm just saying another way may not work. I'm saying God has a surefire word of making it work. He said over in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God sent his word, 107 in verse 20. He sent his word and it healed them. The word did it. Look what he said over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. He said, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and they are medicine or health to all their flesh. You can take a dose of the word every day, and it'll clear up anything in you. It'll seek and destroy, or it'll lead you to a place where you can get cleared up. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying this is key here, because they wouldn't believe it. Because they wouldn't believe it, they couldn't receive their inheritance. They just refused to believe that. Now, I showed him something in here in the first service, and I think it's good to show you that too. But I went down and preached at a meeting during the week last week, and I preached to most of them were ministers, and I preached to them. But I preached on going to another level of faith, and that being somehow we get stagnant, and we get in this little box, and we get comfortable, and so forth. But the word didn't come to make us comfortable. It came to make us conformable. He came to take us, remold us, shape us, renew our minds, develop us, perfect us. Are you following what I'm saying? So somewhere we're going to have to start acting more and more like Jesus. Now you see over in Matthew's gospel, let me just go there a minute. Matthew chapter 15. Over in Matthew chapter 15, you'll see where Jesus was healing people. Now, remember what Jesus said, the things that he did shall we do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because he's going to the Father. But look what he said in Matthew chapter 15, and then starts in verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence, and he came into the city of Sea of Galilee, and went up into the mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And they cast him down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Glory to God. They glorified the God of Israel. Now I'm talking about you going into a land of giants. What are giants? These things that are trying to keep you from your inheritance. These things that are sitting on your land, sitting on your healing, sitting on your deliverance, sitting on your money, sitting on your new job, sitting on your new idea for a business, sitting up trying to block the way and keep you from it. But with faith, you're going to break through. And that's the only thing that's going to take you to say amen to that. You're going to have to receive that new idea by faith. I received the Joseph Business School by faith. Boom! I knew it was something God was trying to say to me, but I couldn't break through. So I went on fast, and boom, next thing I know, boom, broke through. Now, no fast don't move God. It moves you. It gets everything that's cluttering up the way, gets it out of the way so you can receive. Say amen to that. I was right coming out of that place across the street, and God said, buy that shopping mall. Whoa, that was a download. That was, came from God, came to me, and that's, whoa, now how am I going to do this? So God is taking you beyond what you can humanly do, what you can humanly expect. Say amen to that. And so I've got to teach you things on let's say, debt cancellation or debt, staying out of debt. He's in that, you can't make it legalistic. You just can't say, you better stay out of debt. That's fine, but God doesn't do it like that. He does it by faith. He does it by grace. And he shows you what you can benefit by if you do it this way, and how you can live that you never thought you could live. Say amen. He just not want you to get out of debt. He wants you to have abundance. Glory to God. So that's why he said in Deuteronomy 28, well, I'm going all over the place, but I got, you see, I'm loaded here. And so if you look at this, what happened is I had to look at healing and look what Jesus did. And Jesus said, you could do the same thing. So what happened was I was down and I was preaching that. And so guy called me afterwards. He said, Pastor, you know, look what happened to this man right here. Put it up on the board, please. Put that illustration up on the board. This is a picture. And I want you to see this picture. Now, this particular guy was getting prayed for. And I was talking about it all this time. I thought they may have caught the cue and put it up there. Do they have it? Is this a new group? Do you need my phone? Okay, all right. That right there was a man's art of elbow that they put in his arm to get his arm moving. That was an elbow. Stay with me. Got it? But he wasn't satisfied. He went back to prayer. Come on now. Next thing you know, he believes. Then he goes to sleep at night. Woke up in the morning. That metal piece is laying on the side. Watch this. And his arm is completely restored. No blood. No nothing. That's the peace. If he'll do it for that man, do I have some believers in the house? Now I'm going to teach on that blessing, because we're about to go into the fullness of something that the Bible says in the Old Testament, even when you tell it, they ain't going to believe you. Say amen to that. And I'm saying, when we raise the church up to this level and establish this new normal, and the all this just preaching and no products, preaching, come on, and no evidence, preaching and no miracles, preaching, come on. It's time over for that, folks. The Holy Ghost wants to move. I don't care what you got. God can take it out of your body and sit it on the side of the bed. He's just looking for somebody that'll believe it. And for you to believe it, I got to preach it. I said, I got to preach it. Now, I know we got all kinds of levels of healing. You can take medication and so forth. I'm not preaching on that. I'm preaching on the ultimate. I'm preaching on what, say amen, and God will meet your need as far as you, wherever your faith is, that's where he'll, come on now. He said, any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If it been any sins, it'll be forgiven. For the most part, that's for the new believer. That's for people who haven't developed this yet. But I want to develop you so you won't have to call for them. You can be that for somebody else. Wherever you go, your auntie need healing. Come on, your lying cousin need healing. Whatever it is, you lay hands on the sick and they gonna follow you to church. And that's the way it was done in the book of Acts. That's the way it was done. So what happened? It dawned on me, and here I am. And I was getting something out of my closet. I was trying to some church, getting ready to come to service. And Saturday nights, I do everything. I iron my clothes. When I say that, I mean I like to do it. I like to get my shirt ready and so forth and so on. And so this certain shirt. I said, baby, this shirt, the collar is too high, and this thing kind of hurts my neck. She said, well, grow your neck, and just walked out. Well, I almost tripped. I almost tripped. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm being transparent now. I almost tripped. You know how y'all do. And so she walked on out. But then I thought about it. And then it didn't really come together until I went down there and preached that meeting, because I preached something, said something. And I went over there and looked at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. And I look at that. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Let's take that in the Amplified translation, and then we're going to go to the Living Bible translation. And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature or to the span of his life? Let's go to the Living Bible translation and see, can we get even another? Can all your worries add one single moment to your life? Now, there's a whole lot of things in that. But add one cubit to your stature. Stature is how high you are, how tall you are. So that kind of jumped on me. Don't say nothing, it won't be nothing. Okay? But that thing kind of jumped on me. And so I said, wow. So I mentioned that to somebody in preaching or whatever I did. And this guy came to me when we took a break. He said, well, I really enjoyed that service. He said, let me tell you, I remember being in a meeting. He was called talking about Ray McCauley in Africa. I remember being in a meeting. And he had this guy from Africa to stand up. And he said, He commanded the guy to grow. And he said, I saw him with my eyes grow 3 inches. Pants leg got shorter. He said, and then I saw him do it again. Now, I used to do that. I was looking at a lot of Charles and Francis Hunter's tapes, and you know they do all kinds of things called a neck thing and a back thing, and that's what they call it. And so I had people to sit down in a chair and their leg was shorter than the other, throwing their spine out, and I'd say, commanding in the name of Jesus, grow out, and watch their leg just move. Now, I said to myself, what happened to all of that? Well, I got around folk that don't believe nothing. Come on now. And if you don't rub off on them, come on. If you don't rub off on them, somebody say amen in this house. So I'm here to tell you, we're about to go for the gold. We're about to take this thing up to a level that people will say, wow, I did not believe that was possible any kind of way. No, with God, all things are possible. And we're going to prove it. Say amen. All right, so I'm not going to talk about the blessing today because I can get into that and that's a whole new thing. But this blessing turns around everything in your life. You see, when widows in the olden days, their husband died, they almost went just almost into poverty. And the reason why they did is because they stayed around the house, kept the kids, so forth, and the husband worked the farm, and so forth. Well, once the husband died, they had no increase, no income. And so usually the widows were the worst off in the bunch. But with the blessing, you saw the widow said, my husband is dead. Come on. Over there in 2 Kings chapter 4, my husband is dead. And the man of God said, okay, what do you have in your house? Now, what is he going to do? He's going to activate the blessing on him. Say amen to that. So the blessing empowers you for success. So I don't care what you do. The blessing is going to come on you and distinguish you from anybody around you. Say amen. But all you got to do is what? Believe. You got to believe in the blessing. Embrace the blessing. Walk in the blessing and you'll see the blessing manifest. So I'm saying we're about to get new parts in your body. Come on, we're going to witness healthy, wealthy, and wise. Let me say it again. We're going to witness healthy, wealthy, and wise. All right, let's turn over again. Let's go to the Message translation of Hebrews chapter 12. I believe this is the right bunch. Now, you got a couple in here that don't want to hear it. But they're going to either be converted or whatever. Yeah. No. You don't have any difficulty. In other words, whatever problem you've got, there's a solution for it right now. See, when I talk like this, all of a sudden, you don't know it, but your brain shifts frequencies. Watch this. And you begin to be able to pick up a voice that you couldn't even hear before. And it'll tell you what to do. Notice what he told the woman to do. Go in there, take the oil, close the door, so forth and so on, start pouring. Notice what happened. Wipe the dead out. Just like that. Watch this next one. Here's Peter. Peter, Jesus said, what's up, Peter? He said, well, they out there talking about, do we pay taxes? She said, sure, we pay taxes. He said, here's what I want you to do. Go down there to the lake and go down and so forth and drop the pole in. And the first thing, notice what he did. Pull up the money and notice immediately got out of debt in the Old Testament, immediately got out of debt in the New Testament. He'll immediately get, all you got to do is pick up a frequency to hear what to do. See, the only problem is you haven't heard what to do. Amen. And he says his commandments are not grievous. That means he's not going to tell you to go out there and run the 26.2 marathon to do it. He's going to tell you to go down to the lake. He's going to tell you to go over here. He's going to tell you to say this. He's going to tell you to do this. And next thing, right there, debt's canceled, everything canceled, and you got plenty more to live on. Now, give God praise on that. Now, folks, we're going somewhere now. I have made a discovery. The days of your toiling are over. Come on, the days of you being anxious about money. Come on, I'm talking about school money, kid money, any kind of money are over. We're going to tap into something and we're going to do it with joy. We're going to do it smiling. God has turned your mourning into dancing. Put it up there, please. Message translation. This same scripture in the message. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Now, let me stop right there for just a minute. What does he mean by veterans cheering us on? See, when your ancestors went to the Lord, they are in a big arena, kind of like that one that North Carolina and Denver gonna play in today? Is that who playing today? Is that who playing? Okay. That's all right.
Denver and New England.
Denver and New England gonna play today. Who North Carolina? North Carolina playing somebody? Who playing? Yeah. What?
North Carolina.
Good.
Yeah, they playing today.
They playing today, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me get back to this, man. Okay. So what do you see? Everybody that went before you is checking you out. They're checking you out. And when you get a victory, same thing about the touchdown. They're right up there right now. Cheering us on. It means that we better get on with it. Strip down. Watch this. Start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. Come on now. Come on. We need a miracle there. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. So when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. So if you need to get some adrenaline, go over the story. Open that Bible up. Think about this picture that I showed you. Think about Bill Winsor coming here with $200. Think about your great-great-great-grandmother up there cheering you on. Think about Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. Think about the Holy Ghost said, if you say it, I will do it. Now give God a shout. Give him a praise. Is the word of God. Now you need that teaching. You need to remember that. Don't lose it. The God that you serve knows that you'll make mistakes. Get this, but he's got a sweeping broom right behind you. Watch it, cleaning it up. Watch this, that there'll be no trace that you made it. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. I told the other day, I was up praying to him. I said, Lord, I said, you know, I missed that thing. I didn't say the right thing. He said, son, I got you covered. That's all he said. I got you covered. That means no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means if God be for you, there ain't no man stand against you. Come on. I know you messed up. God is cleaning you up. I know you didn't do it right. I know you punched out of school. I know you did this and did that. But God's got the blood just circulating, just running. Glory to God. If you're here and you know you need a brand new start, I don't know who you are, but I do know this. The reason why you came here is because God brought you here. It's time for you to get a brand new start. Folks, that's what happened to me when I just couldn't make it on my own. I gave my life to the Lord and He turned everything around. He turned my mourning into dancing. If you're here, you say, Pastor, that's me. I messed up. I need another shot. I need another chance. I'm saying you're in the right place. You're in the place where just about everybody in here missed it. But guess what they did? They called on Jesus. Oh, He'll reset everything for you. So whoever that is right now, you're ready for a change. God is ready to give you one. I want to pray for you right now. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me, would you pray for me? Absolutely. I want you to receive Jesus Christ. And when you leave this place, guaranteed, you'll be different than you ever were before. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me. Let me pray for you. And let's get a change in your life. Guaranteed. Guaranteed He'll fix you up.